Have your Bibles with me at Colossians chapter 1. The importance of the church, the body of Christ, the mystery that was hid from ages and generations was made manifest through the Apostle Paul's ministry. We looked at five aspects in Colossians 1 of reconciliation, that we're reconciled to God through Christ and his death on Calvary's cross. We saw that verse 23, the ending of it, that Paul was made a minister. He says in verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Let's pray. Father, bless the message to our hearts. Help us to learn and grow and draw close to you. Help us to remove anything that is a hindrance between us and you. And help us, Lord, to gain from you. I don't believe we have long until Jesus comes. Help us to be prepared, ready, anxious for his coming. And help us to be prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. We looked at the five aspects of reconciliation, and now today we pick up where Paul is declaring that he is a minister of Christ. The word minister means servant. Deacon and minister mean the same thing. They are servants of the church. But Paul, in another passage, uses that same word that's translated minister with a different Greek word. The Greek word is huperetes, and it means an under-rower. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1 and 2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." As ministers, he considered them like the galley slaves that rowed the boats in the Roman Empire. He considered the ministers as laborers who were under the direction of someone else. And that direction was God, who directed Paul to labor and to suffer for Christ's sake, that the Gentile nations might hear the gospel of Christ and be saved. And he intended that this message, that the Gentiles being saved were to be a part of the church along with the Jews that had been saved and baptized and assembled together as a church. And this was something the Jewish nation did not expect. They did not know. It was hidden from them through all the ages. They knew that Christ was to be a light to the Gentiles. They had no idea that they would be unified together in the same church, both Jew and Gentile together. According to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul is called to a dispensation, a period of time, a stewardship that he is to be entrusted with, that he would serve God for the fulfilling of the word of God to the church. It is the ministry that's being revealed. He as a servant of the Lord for this dispensation of the church age. We are so fortunate to live in the age of the church age. There were in the law previously, and boy, there's a difficulty of the law and the people who took it to extreme, like the Pharisees, and the Gentiles were considered dogs, and at best you could be a proselyte, and you had to hide over here on the other side of the wall just to hear the message from God's word. But all that's changed. The wall's been taken down, and Jew and Gentile together in Christ are one. Male, female, Jew, Gentile. Makes no difference what nation we're from, what our ethnic background is. If we know Christ is our Savior, We are one in Jesus Christ. Now, he's made known the mystery, the truth that had not been revealed in past ages. Turn back in your Bibles a book to Ephesians chapter 3. You got Philippians beside Colossians and then Ephesians going backward. Chapter 3 and beginning with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So Paul is a minister of Christ for this purpose, for this period of time, this dispensation. He is a steward. It's not his, it belongs to God. He's entrusted with the care of it and with the use of it. And it's important that he serves God faithfully and he'll be rewarded because of his faithfulness. Thousands upon thousands of people have been saved because of these churches that were established among the many nations of people as the gospel began to spread around the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to consist of a unified body of believers, regardless of what their ethnicity is. God has intended the mystery since the beginning of the world. The only division we have should be language. If you have people who do not speak English, and if we do not have an interpreter for them to understand in their own language, then you may have to have another church and be separated because of language. But if you speak English, we should be together. There should be no barrier. It makes no difference what the ethnicity may be. Now in Paul's day, this ministry is being revealed. And we grew up knowing about the church, knowing about everybody can be saved and baptized and a part of the church. And it doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, what your ethnicity is, and all that sort of thing. People get saved and get baptized and become a part of the church. That's the norm for all of us and has been. But it wasn't in Paul's day. The Jews, who were the beginning of the church, had a hard time accepting that the Gentile nations of people who got saved could be baptized and become a part of the same church with them. Because all their days in the temple and the synagogue, they had been separated from any other people, both from the females and from the Gentiles. Now this message was welcomed by the Gentile nations of people, that they were considered equal, that they could participate the same as others. But the Jews had a problem with it. And many of them continued to cause Paul trouble. They wanted the people to become Jewish. They wanted them to be circumcised. They wanted them to go through the rituals. They wanted them to take on a Jewish mentality. There is still a movement in America today called the Messianic Jewish Christian Churches. And they try to teach all the feasts and things of that nature and teach people you can be closer to God if you're Jewish and obey all the Jewish traditions and all that thing. Hogwash! You're saved by a relationship with Jesus Christ and Him alone. And all those other things have nothing to do with whether a person is saved and serving God in the church. And they're a stumbling block to people thinking that separate from the Christian churches. In Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council was held among all the apostles that were at Jerusalem on these very teachings. Peter had taken the gospel message to Cornelius' house, but he took it reluctantly. He didn't want to go. He told God gave him a vision of these unclean animals and told him to kill and eat of these unclean animals, disobey the Jewish diet. And Peter said, "Nay, Lord, I've never done this." God's telling him to do this, and he's telling God no. And God said, "What I've cleansed, do not call unclean." And he was sending him to the Gentile nations. And this vision was for him to open his eyes and to see that all men can be saved and should be baptized and brought into the church. And so Peter went to Cornelius. He gave him the gospel, and God had prepared Cornelius. They bowed down to worship Peter when he showed up, thinking he was an angel. And Peter explained no, and he gave them the gospel message, and they got saved. And now Peter's telling the apostles at Jerusalem how this all took place. And Paul and Barnabas testify in Acts chapter 15 about the Gentiles being saved and how the gospel is spreading to all these nations of people. In chapter 15 of Acts, in verse 13, the scripture says, "And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how at the first, God did at the first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down and build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." So this was God's intention and this was God's plan. And the apostles of the Lord who were Jews now see this is the timing of God that the message goes to the Gentile nations, and they rapidly receive the gospel message, get saved, become baptized, establish churches throughout various and multiple nations as all this is taking place in the age of the Apostle Paul's life. The council of the apostles determined that among the Gentile nations they should abstain from fornication and from things offered to idols, and abstain from idolatry. But they didn't have to become Jews, and they didn't have to be circumcised in order to be saved and baptized and become a part of the church. And the Gentiles received this readily, but the Jews, many still had a problem with it. Back in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So everybody who is genuinely saved is on the same level as the children of Abraham, as the Jewish nation that was given all the promises and the scriptures and all these things that were entrusted into their care. He said, "No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So salvation by grace through faith is the message to the world. It is still the message today to every nation of people. And one day when we get to heaven, we're going to gather with people of every nation and every tongue and every tribe, and together we're going to sing praise to God for salvation. There's the third thing. Part of the mystery to reveal the wisdom of God to all men and reveal the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the wisdom of God. The church exists for more than just saving lost souls. Like the creation itself, the church is to reveal the wisdom of God and give honor and glory and praise to God because of what he hath done and his great wisdom in how he has brought all these things to pass that he promised to do. In Psalm 19, the scripture tells us about creation. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he set the tabernacle for the sun. When men in any nation look up into the heavens, they see the same creation that we see. And they can know that God is there and God is real and God made all these things. And that gives glory to God in the beauty of His creation, the magnitude of His creation, the stars of the heavens and the glory of the sun and all these things. Likewise, the church is to bring honor and glory unto God in the same fashion. The Bible says angels in heaven hear Christ confess men before the Father in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10. The Bible says the angels rejoice when a sinner repents and gets saved. It reveals the great wisdom that God has in the plan of salvation, how the gospel will be for all men, not just a select group. Angels are involved in worship along with men in heaven. They say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4, verse number 11. The redeemed of heaven sing praise to God in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. The church reveals the manifold wisdom of God in His plan of redemption for man, and it reveals His mercy and His grace. All of this is to the praise and the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 through 7, the scripture says, My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Peter tried to keep Jesus from being crucified. He didn't want Him to die. He didn't want Him to leave Him. He loved the Lord, but it was his flesh that was making this appeal. And Jesus said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for you savor the things of the flesh, not the things of the Spirit of God. Christ had to go to the cross to provide redemption for us. And He set His face as a flint to go there and to die for us willingly. Angels are involved in the worship of God along with men in heaven. And the church reveals the wisdom of God both to them and to the world around us. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'll get there immediately, chapter 1 and verse 7. Scripture says, In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. God has given us His Spirit as the earnest money that He will fulfill the contract when He takes us to heaven. and gives us a glorified body. Our bodies are redeemed in that day, and that is the finishing of His promise to us in salvation and redemption. Our redemption is through the blood of Christ. He's made this evident to us according to understanding and wisdom. He's revealed us this mystery of His will, of the church, and of the consummation of it when He comes to take us home to be with Him forevermore. God's plan of blessing us is giving us the Holy Spirit as the seal, that in a seal of a letter, it shows it is finished and it is sealed for protection. It is sealed for ownership by who stamps the letter with their seal. And it is sealed for security. That's what's inside is protected. God has sealed us by His Spirit. We're saved by grace through faith, but we're kept by the power of God. And the Holy Spirit has a part of that sealing aspect. He is the earnest, the arabon in the Greek language, the earnest money of the pledge that you'll finish the transaction. When you bought a home, you probably had to make a down payment. The average thing used to be 10% of the cost of a home you made as a down payment, and that was your assurance that you're going to finish the transaction and you'd continue to make the payments. Well, God's made the earnest to you of His Spirit when you got saved that He will finish the transaction, and God finish what He starts. The Old Testament saints, the Holy Spirit anointed kings for wisdom and power as they ruled, but He did not permanently indwell them as He does with us. David prayed when he sinned, "Lord, take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." And so he realized the Spirit could leave him. Thanks be unto God, He doesn't leave us. Even when we mess up and we're unholy and we commit sin, the Spirit of God is still there. And He will be until Christ comes to take us to heaven and gives us a new body. Included in the mystery of the church is the mystery of how Christ will gather it all unto Himself. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." That's what we call the rapture, when Christ comes in the clouds to take us to heaven. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the world doesn't comprehend these things. They don't understand that we're looking for Christ to come, and He could come at any time. Thanks be unto God. The promise of God is that we're saved and we're kept by the power of God from the wrath of God that will come in the future in judgment upon this world. The salvation of the Gentiles is without requirement of being Jewish first. They were granted baptism and church membership and received the Holy Spirit. They have the promise of the rapture of Christ coming to take us to heaven. And we need to have a spiritual revival of the understanding of the church and offer praise and thanks for God that we live in this age we do, and have the blessings that we have of the church to be a part of. And we're looking for the promise to go to heaven to be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, the scripture reminds us of how we're saved from wrath. Chapter 1, verse 10 says the Thessalonian believers turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In chapter 5, verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do." It's important that we rejoice in the church, that we welcome people to Christ and into the church, and that we receive folks regardless of their ethnicity and background of race or culture or whatever it may be. Christ is one and makes us one when we put faith and trust in Him. And we live in this age of the church dispensation. What a blessing. I am a dispensationalist. I believe that God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord changes not, as he said in Malachi. But the way he's dealt with man changes with periods of time. When he created Adam and Eve, he came down and walked with them and talked with them. Once they sinned, he treated them differently, put them out of the garden. And they were no longer in that dispensation. They went from innocence to conscience. They were taught what they were to do, and it was their conscience that would remind them of God's teaching. He set up human government with Noah and the destruction of the world and the establishment of the new world, and human government reigned with man. And then the age of promise, and then the law, and now the age of grace. And this is not the end. For when God brings this age to a close, he's going to set up a kingdom where he'll rule and reign, and his people that are faithful will rule and reign with him. And then one day he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. If you're saved, my friend, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Glorious promises of God. I hope you'll rejoice in them and share them with the world around you. Glad to see JJ here today. They could not do that procedure they wanted to do on his heart valve. And he's going to have to wait a year. And so pray that his body will be fine between now and then, you know, to wait for that to take place and that it'll go well. Paul Knapp is home, not feeling good today. Loretta still, where she had that surgery on her face, it's never healed and she still has a lot of pain from that. But she's here today. We've got a lot of folks that are in need and have need for prayer and help from one another. Brother Willoughby has helped Tommy Tark tremendously, picking him up, bringing him to church. Gary and him have picked him up and took him back home. And Gary Jr., I know folks have helped. It takes quite a few to get him in and out of the truck. You know, that's you can smile and nod. You're thankful, I know, for the help folks have given you. And we're thankful as a church. So many people do so much around here. You hear me tell about Pete all the time, and it's not just Pete, but boy, Pete's he's here almost every day. And a tremendous load off me with the work that he does. And so many do so much that most people don't even know about. Thank you to all of you that labor and serve in the work you do. We appreciate it. Father, your church is worthy of our labor. You've appointed us as ministers, the servants of God through the church. Lord, I'm not very much, but I am a servant of the Most High God, and I'm thankful that you would count me worthy, placing me into the ministry. I rejoice to be a part of the church today in this age in which we live, and to welcome others without regard of what their background is. They can be saved and baptized and a part of the church and look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Bless your people today. Helps to serve you. Helps to share the message. In Christ's name.